Amen. Well, good evening, everyone. It's great to be in God's house tonight. If you're thankful to be in the house of the Lord, say a hearty amen.
Amen.
Amen. That was a hearty amen. Amen. That was good. Praise the Lord. If you have the Word of God with me, I'd like you to open your Bible there to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 1 is where we'll be at this evening. And I want to begin by thanking the church and thanking Pastor Walsh. And thanking each and every one of you for praying for us and for your financial support. And we could not do what we are doing as a family without your help. And I know we're on live stream, so I'm going to be a little bit discreet with what I say at this moment. But I do want to begin with a thanksgiving and thank you, church, because we know that it wouldn't be possible without churches like you that are faithfully holding our ropes. And I was encouraged when I walked down the hallway a moment ago to use the restroom. I saw our picture and our prayer letter up. I had a lady before the service who told us that they were praying for us and surprised that my wife and a son would be here tonight. And that encourages our heart to hear people know what's going on in the life of them as missionaries and to hear what God is doing and know that you're praying for us. And that means so much. And I just want to thank you so much for being a church that is involved in God's work. Involved in God's work. And God has given us a great work to do. Great work, and he wants all of us to be involved in his work. That's a lot of what we're going to be speaking about tonight. If you have your Bible there in Joshua chapter 1, we'll begin reading, and I'm not exactly sure what your manner is, but I'd like to just offer an invitation to everyone to stand and honor just of the Word of God, and we'll read just a few verses, just 9 verses, and then we'll have a word of prayer. But the Bible says in Joshua chapter 1, beginning of verse number 1, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I have said, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee." Amen. "Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Amen. Amen. With the Lord's help, I'd like to draw your attention. We're going to talk about this subject of being strong and of a good courage, but the title for our message this evening is verse number 9. The first phrase there, "Have not I commanded thee? Have not I commanded thee?" Now let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer and ask him for his help this evening and the blessing of the preaching of his word. Would you pray with me this evening? Dear Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful that we can come to you as we are. Lord, thank you that you know our needs, and thou art greater than them all. Thankful that we have a holy God who is big and great and mighty. And I'm thankful, Lord, that we can come together with thy people and hear thy word. Lord, I pray, Father, for these that are here in this room tonight. I do not know anyone's hearts. I'm thankful that thou knowest. I pray for those that may be lost and without Christ, Lord, that they would come to faith in you. They would realize their sinful condition apart from God. They would repent of their sin and put their faith and trust in what Jesus Christ, thy Son, has done on the cross for them. Lord, because it's only in Christ that we have any hope of eternal life. But Father, for those of us who are here that know Christ as our Savior, and I trust many do here in this evening service, Lord, I pray that you give us an open heart. Father, I know that this is probably a familiar passage to most. If we're not careful, Lord, we can allow the familiarity of your word to fall on numb ears. Lord, I know that the true work that must be done is not a work that I can do. It's a work that only you can accomplish, just like we heard the choir sing a moment ago. Lord, I am thankful I know a man who can. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would please do a special work in every heart this evening, including my own. Lord, begin right here in this pulpit. Start with me, O God, and work in every single heart and life. Please, may we not leave the same, but may you help us to let you be thorough with us, that we might be serious about you and your work that you've given to us to do. For it is a great work, like Nehemiah said, and we cannot come down from off the wall. Oh, help us, Lord, awaken thy people, as only thou canst do. We'll give you the glory. For in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I'll confess this evening there's so much in my heart that I'd like to say. I was kind of kidding at another church we were at about a month or so ago, and I was preaching, and it said sometimes when you haven't preached in a while, you kind of feel like a soda can that's been shook up, and they pop it open, it just, you know, explodes a little bit. And so I appreciate your forbearance this evening and your prayers, and the Lord would put his blessing hand upon his word. And you know, this passage of Scripture is a very powerful one. You know, I know it's very familiar to most of us. If I can share a little bit about a testimony of how God has used this in my own heart and life, when the Lord allowed my wife and I to be in France this past year, there's a lot of, we were learning the French language, and again, we'll explain a little bit more about that after the service, but the French have a lot of expressions that they use, and they use the word bon, which means good. And so they'll use a lot of different expressions with the word bon. So they'll say bonsoir, which means good evening, or bon voyage, which means have a good trip, or as many of us know here in the States, bon appetit, which means what? Enjoy your meal, right? And so they use many expressions with the word bon, where there was one when we first got there I'd never heard before. It's not used here in English or in America, and it's called bon courage, bon courage. And when I first heard that, I was kind of taken back. Our pastor's wife used it to encourage us. And I said, what does that mean? And she says, well, it's just to be of a good courage. It means kind of like you would say good luck. Now, obviously, we don't use it like that. But it was interesting when she used this expression, the Lord brought to mind this passage of Scripture in Joshua chapter 1. As the Lord, three times in this passage of Scripture, speaks to Joshua this same thought of be strong and of a good courage. Okay, let's look at it, if you would, in the passage of Scripture this evening. In verse number 6, the Bible says, be strong and of a good courage. And again, in verse number 7, a little slight variation of this, only be thou strong and very courageous. And then again, in verse number 9, he says, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. And the Lord used this passage in a mighty way in our own hearts and lives about how that the work that God has given to us to do requires God's strength and God's courage. You know, it's interesting, when you study this passage of Scripture, the book of Joshua, God had given Joshua a very special task, didn't he? And he explains that again in verse number 6. He told him to go into the land and to conquer the land, to divide it as for an inheritance, the land. And so God had given him a monumentous task. As you can imagine, being in Joshua's shoes, the great leader, the man of God, Moses, had just passed away off the scene just the chapter before. In verse number 10 and verse number 30, chapter 34 of Deuteronomy, the Bible says, and there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. Can you imagine following someone, a saint like that, someone that God used in such a mighty way? And quite big shoes to fill. A lot of fear, a lot of trepidation, if you will. There's a huge task that was placed before him, a huge people to lead, huge shoes to follow. But through all this, The Lord was trying to remind Joshua that he had a huge God that was so much bigger than the task, so much greater than the people and their problems, and so much bigger than the shoes that he had to fill. Oh, and in verse number 9, I love what the Bible says. He says, "Have not I commanded thee?" You know, when somebody gives you instruction, you know, depending on who that person is, you know, depends about a lot about how that instruction will be carried out, won't it? You know, it's a lot different if someone just, you know, for example, if a police officer stops you and says that you should do something this way, or if somebody just on the street stops you, a person who has authority. But I want to tell you this evening that we cannot forget who it is that is saying this here. It's our God. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. "Have not I commanded thee?" What's interesting is that the three different times that the Lord says to Joshua to be strong and of a good courage, he also gives him three different commands. But also with each command, he gives him three different promises. Three different promises. Folks, I want to tell you this evening, you know, Adoniram Judson, he was a missionary to Burma. How many of you heard of Adoniram Judson? Oh, great. That's wonderful. I'm encouraged to hear of churches that are teaching people about missionaries of the past and the heroes of the faith. And there's so much emphasis today in the world about ungodly heroes. God's people need to be placing an emphasis on God's heroes. Amen? We need to be placing the emphasis where God wants us to have the emphasis. But Adoniram Judson, this pioneer missionary, the first Baptist missionary from America, went to Burma, and God used him in a mighty way to translate the scriptures in the Burmese language. He was taken captive by the Burmese. There was a war that broke out between England and the country of Burma, and they suspected that all foreigners were spies, and so they took him captive, and he was put into death prison. Think of that, death prison. And every night, they would take the prisoners, and they would take bamboo and shackle themselves to these stalks of bamboo, and they would hoist them up by their ankles every night, and they'd have to sleep hanging upside down. Now, you can imagine just one night what that would be like, let alone night after night for years this went on. And finally, when they found out that the Burmese were losing the battle, losing the war, they sent all the prisoners on a death march. It was during that time where even Adoniram Judson bears testimony how there were thoughts of him taking his own life because it was such awful conditions. He said, wow, this is a man that knew great despair, great darkness. And yet somebody asked Adoniram Judson about the state of evangelizing the country of Burma. And this was his response. He said, "The future is as bright as the promises of God." Think of someone who lived in such turmoil and such darkness. He lost two of his wives and several of his children there in the mission field. And yet he stayed faithful because he trusted the promises of God. Folks, I want to tell you that our faith is built off people who have believed what God has said. They took in God at his word. They believed the promises of God. I want to ask you this evening, are you one of those people? Before we are quick to raise our hand and say, "Yes, I am, Brother Chase," and we sing our song, "Standing on the Promises of God," does your life bear witness that you stand on the promises of God? I'm thankful that Joshua is someone who stood on God's promises. And from the promises of God and the presence of God, we find the strength and the courage we need to fulfill the task that God has given to us. And folks, when we think about the task, we're gonna do a little comparison about the task that God gave Joshua with the task that God has given to us. Hold your finger there in Joshua. We'll come back in just a moment. Turn over with me now to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. You say, what task is God given to us? I'm glad you asked. I'll be happy to explain it. Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 18. Here we find the Lord Jesus Christ after his resurrection, right before he ascends into heaven to sit on the right hand of the throne of the Father. The Bible says in verse number 18, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. So here we find also a command given, a commission given to the church to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, right? As Mark 16:15 explains it. But yet God gives us a wonderful promise, doesn't he? See that there? And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Folks, the Lord keeps his word. Think of that this evening. If the Lord Jesus said, lo, I am with you always, does that mean he's with us only when we feel well? Only whenever our country is in a good state? Only whenever we've got money in the bank account? No. It says, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. May God help us to remember again with fresh faith that he will keep his promises. He will keep his promises. If you'll turn back over in Joshua chapter 1, we see this commission that God has given to us as a church. We're going to look at just a couple things this evening with the Lord's help. We're going to look at these three things that the Lord spoke. And then there's one other one that's mentioned that's not from the Lord. It's from the children of Israel, actually. Where they're encouraging Joshua to be strong and of a good courage. And so we're going to look at four things with the Lord's help about being strong and of good courage, what God would have us to do, what his command is. It's all about him, amen? First of all, this evening, we must be strong and of a good courage because of the task that God has given us. The task that God has given us. Back in Joshua chapter 1, if you would. Joshua chapter 1, look at verse number 2 again. The Bible says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, to the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Now, it's interesting. I'm sure the children of Israel, I'm sure even Joshua, may have had the temptation to feel that now that Moses was passed away and off the scene, now what do we do? Our hope is lost, right? Our great faithful leader. But it is at that moment when God says, now, this is the opportunity to work. This is the moment to act. Folks, I want to tell you, when times in life seems like it's so dark and so dismal, there's no hope, that is when the Lord wants us to stand still and go forward. He wants us to move forward with him. And notice, what was this task that God had given Joshua? Look at verse number 6 again. He says, be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. So God had given Joshua the task of conquering the land. I think most of us this evening are familiar with the story of Joshua and how that God used him in a mighty way to lead his people to conquer the different tribes and nations that were there. But notice, this command, as you can imagine, seems like a very daunting one. No doubt it was. But notice the promises that God gives accompanying this command. Look at verse number 3. It says, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even into the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites into the great sea toward the going down the sun shall be your coast. Now let me just put that in a little bit of understanding here. The river Euphrates is in modern day Iraq. So he's saying from all the way over there, all the way to the Mediterranean Sea, that whole expanse God had given them already. Say, okay, that's great, Brother Chase. What does that mean? Okay, look at verse number 3 again, if you would. Every place, not some places, right? Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. So God had given the parameters. He said, look, this is all the land that I've given you, but that it must be claimed, it must be possessed. It must be apprehended. And folks, I want to just make an application here this evening with what God has given to us as a church in reaching the world with the gospel. Does God want us just to reach certain places around the world with the gospel? Well, one person thinks no. The Lord Jesus Christ said, go ye into what? All the world. But I wonder here, he says, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given you, as I said to Moses. It was a work that required faith. It was a work that required faith. It required work. And folks, I want to ask this evening, are we claiming all that God has for us? Or are we coming short of it? I think so many churches have grown so complacent and so satisfied with the fact, oh yeah, we've got lots of people that we support. There's lots of missionaries in these different, in all the different continents. You know, yeah, we're good. We're doing our job. But are we? Are we? Or are we coming short of what God has for us? Oh, friends, I'm afraid to think when we get to heaven, all the blessings that God did have in store for us, that He wanted to bestow upon us, but because of our unbelief, we did not get to receive them. In fact, that's what the Lord Jesus said. It described about His ministry when He went back to His hometown of Nazareth. That the first time the word's used in the whole Bible is pretty interesting. Matthew 13, I think it's 58. It says, and He did not there many mighty works there because of their unbelief. First time it's used right there in the New Testament. Interesting. He did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. I wonder what the Lord Jesus Christ has not been able to do at Lighthouse Baptist Church because of your unbelief. I wonder what blessings He's wanted to bestow. Praise the Lord for the great heritage, the great history that God has given this church. But I can't help but think this is just the hem of the garment of what God wants to do, how God wants to use you. Notice again, He gives an emphasis. He says, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even into the great river of the River Euphrates, all the land. All the land. Folks, God has so much more for us than what we ever could realize. But it must be claimed by faith. I don't want you to raise your hand this evening, but I wonder how many of you pray that the world would be evangelized in our generation. I wonder how many of you do. I wonder how many of you pray for the world. I wonder how many pray for the different nations and the countries and the peoples that are in the world and the missionaries that are out there serving. Are we so consumed with our own problems and our own lives here that the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few? We're so focused here. The Lord is saying, lift up your eyes. Look on the fields. For they are white already into harvest. Oh, folks, my heart was broken as we're driving around here in this area in Pennsylvania. This isn't the Bible Belt, folks, but in Pennsylvania, see all the different churches. Let me take you to Paris, France. Let me take you to some other parts of the world where you won't even dare find a church within a 100-mile radius. Folks, there is a great need for the gospel around this world. But what are we doing? There's a promise here, the promise that God would give them all the land. But it was conditioned upon their faith, upon them claiming it. May the Lord give us that faith to claim all that He has for us. Not only that, but also He promised them victory. Look at verse number 5. He says, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. I love this. God had promised Joshua that when they go in, they were going to be successful. That the enemies that they would face, no matter how terrible, no matter how horrible, no matter how scary they may seem or how greater they may have been, that God was going to deliver them. That's quite a promise, isn't it? He said, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. So every day, God promised He would deliver His people. Now, did Israel experience this? Well, we know no, because in a few chapters later, when they fought Ai, what happened? They were defeated, and there was people that were killed. But what does the Bible reveal about that? It was sin in the camp. Another reason, not only our unbelief, but another reason that we miss short of obtaining all that God has for us is because of sin in our life. I wonder, folks, when was the last time that you got right with God? That you didn't do inventory yourself, but you allowed God to do inventory of your heart and life. There's a big difference. Because for some reason, when we have a tendency to look over the books, we like to look over things. We like to justify things. But I love what the psalmist said in Psalm 139. He says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Folks, are we right with the Lord? How's your relationship with God? Let me also just mention this. The Word of God explains for him that to him that knoweth to do good and to doeth not, to him to sin. I wonder how many of us have been disobedient to God in our witness and telling others about Jesus Christ. I'm guilty. There's times when I know the Lord has prompted my heart to go talk to someone, and I've brushed it off. Lord, I'm busy. Folks, that is sin. The Lord, help us. The Lord, awaken our eyes to see that there are people that need the life-saving power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But we must be right with God. Oh, we must be right with God. But there is a promised victory. I want to tell you tonight, the Lord has promised us his victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me share a verse with you. I hope it will be an encouragement to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, familiar verse. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 57, it says, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, your personal Savior tonight, the Bible explains that through Christ we do have victory, that it is a gift. You don't have to live a defeated life. Amen? A few of us believe that tonight. We don't have to live a defeated life. We can live in victory, an overcoming life. It's only through faith in Jesus Christ. If you try to do it on your own, it's impossible. But through Christ, we can do all things. And then he says, because of that, I love that in verse 58. So, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us a victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, because of this, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Because we know that we have victory in Christ, we ought to be faithful. We ought to be faithful in the work of God. So we see he gave the promise of the land, the promise of the victory. Then also there's a promise of his personal support. I love this. Look at verse number 5 of Joshua 1 again. It says, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee." You know, I wonder if you've ever been working on a project and you've had to call help from someone else, whether it was a mechanic or somebody, a plumber or something, and you've had somebody that was unreliable. Anybody experienced that before? Yeah. And you need support, you need help, but they were not faithful, they were not dependable. Friend, I want to encourage you tonight that our God is the most dependable being that we can depend on. And just like he promised Joshua, so too in the New Testament, he reiterates his promise where he says, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Folks, that's for us to claim tonight. And I'm thankful that our God cannot fail, and he will not fail. George Mueller, the great man of prayer whom God used in Bristol with the orphanages there, he said, "If the Lord fail me, it'll be the first time." I wonder how many of us are so afraid, we want to have such control of our life that we don't trust God enough to let him help us. We don't trust God enough. How big is your God? How big is your God this evening? So we see we must be strong and of a good courage because of the task the Lord has given to us. But also, secondly, this evening, because of the word that God has commanded us. Look at verse number 7. So we see the second time that he's mentioned here, it says, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest." You know, what's amazing is that the word of God enables us to do the work of God. In fact, that is a truth that's given in the New Testament in 2 Timothy. Why don't you hold your finger there and turn over with me. 2 Timothy chapter 3. It's a familiar verse, I know. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16 and 17, we have to remind ourselves of the importance, and not just the importance, but the necessity of the Word of God in our life and in our ministry. We cannot drift from God's Word. Let me say that again. We cannot drift from God's Word. We must cling to it. We must cleave to it. And look at what 2 Timothy says in chapter 3, verse number 16. It says, "All Scripture..." Not just the New Testament, right? "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." Notice this, "that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works." When he's saying perfect there, he's not saying that he's going to be without sin. That's not what he's saying. But he's saying he's going to be mature. He's going to be to a point of spiritual maturity. And folks, tonight, I think we have a lot of spiritual immature Christians because we're not in the Word of God like we should be. God, help us to have an appetite for His Word, to get in it. Why? So we can just have a big head of all the Scripture knowledge? No, that's not it at all. But what is the Bible say? He says in verse number 7, he said, "This is why I want you to be strong and very courageous, is that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein." God desires obedience in our life. Oh, folks, what does it make any bit of difference what we say we believe if it doesn't affect our life? If it doesn't change us? The lost world is looking at the church. They're looking for hope. And it's so sad when people come into churches and they're hungry and they're thirsting. They're waiting to hear some message of hope of the gospel. And yet the people don't believe it. It's like being sick and going into a hospital and being turned away. Oh, folks, may God help us to be fully obedient. But you know what? Full obedience demands something else. Full surrender. Because we really won't truly obey God in everything unless we are yielded to God in everything. We must be surrendered. I wonder how many of you in your life, there's ever been a moment in your life when you've yielded yourself to God, when you've surrendered your heart and life to God and said, "God, I'm not going to live for myself any longer. I'm going to live for you." I was just a boy when I did that, but I'm so thankful I gave my life to Jesus Christ. He has never left me. He's never forsaken me. And certainly I'm not perfect. But I'm so thankful I've given my life to Christ. You know why? Because He gave His life for me. Folks, when we get our eyes and back who Jesus is, what He did on the cross for our sins, how He willingly laid down His life for the wrong that we had committed, the crimes that we had committed against the holy God, He willfully took the punishment of them. He willingly gave down His life as a sinless sacrifice for our sins. He gave up His life for us. Is it an unreasonable thing for us to be willing to give up our life for the one who gave up His life for us? If we truly love Jesus, I wonder why there aren't many more people who are surrendered to God. Lord, help us. Are you surrendered? Is your all on the altar, like the song says? But also I want to mention this. If you have surrendered your life completely to the Lord, then you'll also know that it's not just a one-time thing. It's a daily thing, isn't it? Every day, we must yield ourselves unto God, as the Scripture says. That's the key to being filled with the Spirit, yielding ourselves to the Lord. I wonder, are you yielded to God tonight? Even as you're here in the service listening, say, "Oh, well, only the preacher needs to be filled with the Spirit." Oh, not true. Read your Bible. It's a command. It says, be filled with the Spirit. You must be filled with the Spirit of God. And I wonder, if God had more control of His people, He would probably be able to do a lot more in this world. So where's the problem? Is the problem with God? Never. The problem's never with God. It's with us. I wonder tonight, maybe some of us, we need to take a visit at this old-fashioned altar and yield our life again, afresh and new to God. So, Lord, whatever you want from me. And folks, I'll be honest, I would love to see each and every one of you over on the mission field. That would just make my heart so glad. But you know what makes my heart even more glad is if you are just yielding and doing what God wants you to do, following His will, His plan for your life. His plan for your life. Notice the promise here is a conditional promise. He says that He promises prosperity and He promises success. It's interesting. Not in the sense that we would think of in our American economy. He's not promising financial blessing. That's not what He's saying. He's promising spiritual blessing. He's promising that they would have victory and full obedience in completing the task that God had given to them. And so in order to fulfill for us the Great Commission, fulfill the purpose that God has for our life, it cannot be deviated or separated from obeying the Word of God. Because the Word of God, again, enables us to do the Word of God. So how do we do this? I love what he says in verse number 8. He says, "This book of law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night." Folks, that's more than just a reading. But it's a thinking. It's a drawing over in your mind. It's taking time to really go deeper with God. And what does this mean? Take time. I wonder how much time in our day do we take to think about God's word? I'll be honest. I'm bad at this. There's many times, you know, I get up and spend time with the Lord, read the word of God, and enjoy it. The Lord speaks to me. And then it's almost kind of like a knob turns. Day starts, get work going. What happens? We kind of get focused on our own tasks, don't we? The Lord, help us to meditate, to think on his word. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Do you want a successful Christian life? We got to get back to obeying the word of God completely. May God help us. And then thirdly, we see this evening, he says, we need to be strong and have a good courage because of the authority that God has given to us. I love this. Verse number 9, he says, have not I commanded thee? The Lord is reminding Joshua here, he's like, Joshua, who is talking to you here? Who is giving these promises? Who is giving the orders? Who is giving the commands? You know, Joshua was not the military leader of the children of Israel. He wasn't. It was the Lord Jesus Christ. It was God. God was the leader. And God was trying to explain to Joshua, even at this point, look, I am your authority. Folks, when we think about reaching the world with the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ has given to us his authority. His authority. You might say, oh, well, they don't like us going into this place, or, you know, they don't like it. It says no trespassing or no soliciting. Hey, folks, we have a higher authority than that. Souls are dying and on their way to hell without God. May God stir us up that we might be reminded that it is he who has commanded us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Well, Brother Rooks, if we're really going to be serious about this thing, that means people are going to get upset. Yeah. It means that things are not going to always turn out pretty. Yeah. But you know what? The Lord reminded Joshua, he said, be strong and have a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. He said, don't be disappointed. Don't be fearful. He says, why? I love this. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Folks, when we have the Lord with us, it doesn't matter where we go or what we do. Oh, we know that we can fulfill his commands. Only God help us. God help us. And then in the next portion of scripture here, in verse 10 through the end of the passage, verse number 18, Joshua now turns to the leaders and the children of Israel. They're preparing to go over and across the Jordan River and to be able to go into the promised land, actually conquer the land. And what's interesting, I want to conclude with this because there's a very important point here. And notice what Joshua says. It requires a little bit of history, but there was 2.5 tribes that had fought and they had wanted the land on the other side of the Jordan River, and God had told them through Moses that that was fine. They could keep that side as long as they came over and helped fight to obtain the rest of the land. And so he's speaking to these tribes in verse number 12, Joshua 1. He says, and to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to the half-tribe of Manasseh, spake Joshua, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them, until the Lord hath given your brethren rest, as he hath given you. And they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return into the land of your possession, and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side Jordan, toward the sun rising. Now, later on, if you look at the last verse there, verse 18, it says, whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken unto thy words and all thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. This is the leaders there of these tribes. And then notice, this is what they are saying to Joshua. They said, only be strong and of a good courage. So the final thing here is the people that God has given to us. We must be strong and of a good courage for the people that God has given to us. Folks, the work of God cannot be done alone. It cannot be done by just the missionaries or just the pastor, just the Sunday school teachers. But every single child of God must be doing their part to reach the world with the gospel. It's interesting, verse number 14, that Joshua speaks. And he says, "But ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them." I wonder tonight, where are the mighty men of valor for God? Where are the people, the men, that are willing to stand for the truth, for the word of God, for the gospel? It's interesting that he says they were going to come over. They were going to leave behind the wives and the children and all their possessions on the other side of the Jordan. He said, you're going to first go over and you're going to help fight. You're going to help possess the rest of the land that still needs to be conquered. And then after you help your brothers, then you can go back to your possession. And notice what he says, and enjoy it. And enjoy it. Folks, what I'm so sad to think is that many American Christians are so busy enjoying their own possession that they're neglecting their brothers and sisters who are fighting around this world, trying to claim the possession that God has given to us. Folks, God wants every single person to be enlisted. Every single person. I wonder, are you committed to the Lord? Might be a little fearful. I'm thankful that God has given us His word, His promises, and His presence to give us courage and strength for the battle. In verse number 16, this is our final thought here. I'd like to conclude with, notice what the men responded. I hope that not just the men are listening this evening, but every single person, every boy and girl, every woman and lady and man. But notice what he says here in verse number 16. He says, "And they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us we will go." And folks, that needs to be our response to the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, all that you say to me, I'll do. Wherever you want me to go, I'll go. I wonder, is that you tonight? Are you fully giving yourself to the Lord? And if you are you encouraging others to do the same? William Borden, he was a young man. He was a part of a family that was millionaires in the early 1900s, late 1800s. And they call him Borden of Yale. And God had gotten a hold of his life at a younger age. He had taken a tour around the world and seen some of the wickedness that was in the world. And he gave his life, even though he was a millionaire, he gave his life to be a missionary. And he was going to go work with a Muslim people group that was in northwestern China, I believe. And upon the way, he was stopping in Cairo, Egypt. He was going to learn some language and then move on. He contracted meningitis and ended up passing away. And some people, even one of his colleagues that he went to school with, said his life was such a waste. His life was such a waste. But yet, it was through the death of William Borden that part of the great student volunteer movement really took flame. And many different students and young people that were living in colleges and universities at the time volunteered to serve God overseas. They volunteered. And God used the death of this young man. It was this young man, he said this. He would often speak in different churches and things, and he said this, and it's just really captivating. I think it's appropriate for this evening. He said, "If 10 men are carrying a log, 9 of them on the little end, and 1 at the heavy end, and you want to help, which end will you lift on?" Let me read that again. If 10 men are carrying a log, 9 of them on the little end, and 1 at the heavy end, and you want to help, which end will you lift on? William Borden many times would give that illustration and talk about the great need of the gospel around the world and how there's 9 people, so to speak, on the little end in places like America where the gospel's been had for centuries now, and there's only 1 person on the heavy end. What about you? May God help us. Are you joining in this fight to help fulfill the task that God has given to us? It is Him that has commanded us. May the Lord give us the courage and the strength to fulfill that command.